You did, and that you're ready for another week of unusual features and exciting events here at the Bob and Ray Show.
First thing we want to announce today, and this will give everyone a full week, that is a work week, to get ready for the big Bob and Ray Company picnic, which will be held this year at Pine Grove State Park this Friday, coming Friday.
Boy, July 31st is the date, ladies and gentlemen.
Think of it.
It's, of course, only for Bob and Ray employees, but it's an event that the public takes to its heart every year.
Well, all the employees, except those who are too far away, for instance, Dave and his announcer, Arthur Schrank, will not be with us at the picnic this year, we don't think. And some of our units who are overseas, the Great Bird will not be there.
We're busy lining up talent to take part in the entertainment portion of the day's festivities out there at Pine Grove State Park. We've lined up already the Cabot Brothers.
You've all
great act.
Remember the famous Cabot Brothers. The Wellington Family Singers will be there to entertain the Bob and Ray Company employees. Of course, they're famous for folk songs. And then Bob and I are going to present two or three political tableaus. Bob will portray the grafting mayor, and I will be the crooked bookkeeper.
And
these are all beautiful tableaus that will be done in the Pine Grove.
They'll be done under the trees there, in the forest, by the lake, and, of course, a feature of the day will be the big clam bake, and we'll be going up to Pine Grove later this week, I think tomorrow, to actually show you what is going on in the way of preparation. It's a big week. And we issued a letter from Flaming Bombardine.
I had a letter from Flaming Bombardine. You recall, recently he shot himself out of a trash can and landed against the closed door. And he's over at a nearby spot of recuperation.
Hospital.
Yeah. And he writes to say he's coming along fine, and that in the room next to him is Wilbur Feely, the Bob and Ray bomb deactivator.
Yes, Wilbur was here deactivating a bomb a few days
ago. But he said they're both having a wonderful time and will be back at their trade soon. So that will come as good news, I know, to most of you folks.
Mm. And be sure and listen on Friday. For sure, because that's the day we'll be out at the park, and we'll be...
And a warning to Bob, that if you are not, we repeat, if you are not a Bob and Ray Company employee, please do not clutter the highways near the Pine Grove State Park.
Now I'm going to step in here at my Columbia Phonograph dealers, and I'm going to just go through the door.
Right.
Hello there, sir. I'm representing Bob and Ray this evening. I thought maybe you could show us your line of Columbia phonographs, maybe the portable models that you have.
Yes, certainly. Girl, if you'll step along right over here.
I understand stereo one by
my wife, and these are the kids.
Yes, well, I wanted to see
this calendar that you'll see up over my desk. It's a beautiful scene of the Grand Teton Mountains in Wyoming.
That is. I've seen
beautiful.
That same scene before.
Yes. Now, what is it you wanted to talk
about? Well, I thought...
Easy terms?
Well, not yet. No,
oh,
I wanted
right.
to maybe pick out one of the phonographs. I hear your headquarters for all of them. The prices, I'm told, start as low as $24.95.
That's right. And the consoles, and look... Crafted like beautiful, fine furniture, see that?
Yes.
Huge console. They start at the amazing low price of $129.95.
And that's for a three-dimension stereophonic high-fidelity sound.
Well, you can play all kinds of records, stereo or otherwise. As a matter of fact, monaural records sound even better on this this beautiful Columbia phonograph.
Well, that's something to keep in mind. And you said something about terms. I could get terms.
Yes, you can. I was only joking with you. There's a phonograph here for every room, every budget, every listening need.
Well, then I would say that my advice to all of our friends is to drop down to their Columbia dealer and see his full line of Columbia phonographs, portables and consoles. We were...
Going
to the store first. We were sitting around the Bob and Ray office the other day, kind of lamenting the fact that there's very little conversation on radio.
And we were not only lamenting it, but CBS Radio was too. And they came to us and they said, Bob and Ray,
Holy cow, what's happened to conversation on radio? Could you bring it back in one of your programs?
Gee whiz, they said, to continue, if anybody could do something about talking on the radio or conversation, we think you and your staff could come up with it.
Heck, he said, it would be easy for you. My goodness, the fellow continued, he said that all the radio stations seem to be playing the top 40 records all day long, and there's just no good conversation available to radio listeners. So here we are to present...
Wait just a minute. Shucks, he expostulated.
Right.
We're going to leave it up to you to present a conversation program.
All right, well then let's present Bob and Ray's conversation program.
We have asked Webley Webster to moderate a discussion which will include Mary Magoon, whom you're familiar with, I think, Tex Blaisdell, and Ray and myself will try to enter into the discussion wherever we feel it's applicable.
They have now chemicals, I think, that you can put down right on your lawn to kill any broadleaf weed, such as crabgrass or plantain or creeping willy or whatever.
Well, and, do you have any...
I remember one time when I get this haircut, what happened to me was this. I went into this bar.
All right, just a minute, Webb. I think we were off on one line of talk there with Mary in relation to chemicals for improving the lawn, for ridding it of crabgrass. Maybe we should stick to that one subject rather than get off onto your haircut.
Do you want me to talk about his haircut?
Well, if you want to swing the conversation.
Well, before I do that, I want to just go on record.
Can you tie his haircut in with crabgrass?
Maybe a little bit. Let me try it. I would like, first of all, to go on record saying that I do think that the baseball they use in the major leagues now is it's a rabbit ball. It does go further when you hit it.
That
I really
think
they did back in the old days.
That was very good. Come on.
This is the wandering musician that CBS Radio has. He wanders through the offices and into the studios to keep morale up, keep people happy during the hot summer months.
Trying this out for the summer, or is it going to be a regular thing, do you think?
I don't know. I understand he wanted in on a newscast the other day, so I don't think it would be too regular.
Uh-huh.
Nice song, buddy.
Getting back to conversational topics here, if we may digress a minute.
Yes.
I think the age of the old-time cowboy has disappeared. In other words, you see them handling these roundups from motorized vehicles, and you see...
Well, look, when you have a three-lane highway, everybody coming in either direction thinks that that little lane belongs to them for passing. I just wanted to say that.
Anything to add to that, Mary?
Well, only this.
I got hot coffee, tea, and I have the pineapple bow tie.
You have a bow tie?
Bow tie. I've got French donut.
I'll have a French donut.
Bacon, a biscuit, cheese sandwich, and beer.
Why don't you folks who are conversing go over in the corner and finish your conversing? Don't you think, Ray?
Yeah, Bob. It's too bad.
No.
Bob, we had a note sent over from the program department here at CBS.
Yes.
They want us to play the number 40 this week.
I think that's a great
idea.
Up
3 buttons from 37.
Swell. So let's all give a listen. Great record. One we'll be hearing a lot from. Wally Blue just called up. He's downstairs.
He is?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would mean that we'll have a Wally Blue report from the street. Engineer, is he all set? Good. All right, come in, please. Wally Blue.
This is Blue. I'm standing here, one of the main thoroughfares of Manhattan, about to chat with some of the many visitors who are streaming into our fair city to enjoy the sights and the activity of New York in the summertime. New York, as you may have heard, a summer festival. We're standing here amidst a crowd of interesting visitors, and I think I'd like to chat maybe with this gentleman right here to my left.
How do you do? Pleasure to be here.
place to talk to you people.
Where would your home be, sir?
My home would be in Pendleton, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon?
Pendleton.
Pendleton.
My name is Hank Bauer.
Very nice to talk with you, Hank, if I may call you that.
Please, everyone does.
How long have you been here in New York? This is your vacation, I presume.
Oh, I came here in 1916.
Oh, well, then you're rather familiar with the ways of a big city like this.
Well, I've been here, let's see, 26 would be 10, 36, 20, 46, 30, 56, 40. I've been here 43 years.
Uh-huh. Well, now, of course, it always occurs to a man on the street interviewer that the important thing to talk about in an interview is something exciting. Is there anything with you that we could discuss?
Well, I don't know, maybe so. I had a very interesting discussion just before with a friend of mine who has a very interesting hobby, the next camper. And he was explaining to me that the...
That's wonderful. Go ahead.
A trained person can take an egg and hold it up to a light, and he can tell, whether that egg was as good or as a double yolk or...
How long does it take him to do that?
Well, egg candles, it's a highly trained profession, I guess you'd call it.
Do you need any particular education for it?
No, I think training, more or less. And what you do is you hold the egg up to the candle.
Wonderful.
I think you can do a dozen eggs in maybe 10 minutes, which is slower. It's almost like one and a quarter egg, or one and a third egg or so.
Per second?
Per second, which is, per second. I think that's,
out of an average, as we'll say, 10 dozen eggs, how many would you think they'd have to throw out?
One company would be
the average cat over here, Lieutenant.
I'll keep company, too.
Looks to me like Wally Ballou has missed himself a scoop down
Something
there.
Something was going on down there, wasn't it?
I couldn't quite make out, but that was very interesting indeed. I wish we had more time to go on with it, but we don't, unfortunately.
Again, maybe he has spotted the news story that's there. Should we go back?
All right, let's try.
Are we equipped to do that, engineer?
Let's see, engineer's lining up now, yeah.
And you mean that there wouldn't be more than five or six out of 100
of what I read out to be, five eggs out of 100 engineers. Yeah. Okay. Now then, what do we have time for?
We don't have time for very, very much here, Ray, except to thank everybody again for their kind thoughts that they express in the letters to us. We're going to try and get around to answering some of these letters on the air in the very near future.
The great Bob and Ray Bird isn't feeling too well. He is not here in the studio today. We've had a bird doctor look at him, and the bird doctor seems to think he'll be all right in a couple of weeks.
Bird doctor doesn't know just what kind of a bird it is, either.
The bird doctor really didn't want to go near him, to be honest with you, friends. So he's more or less diagnosing it from across the room with a pair of binoculars.
I think now we'd better go back to the Bob and Ray office and extrapolate the items on today's show and get the report ready for tomorrow.
Just went off. Well, I guess that's all for now. We'll have to be running along. Boy, it's beautiful, isn't it? Just beautiful.
See, the audience is just waiting to applaud. So
the audience pales every time they hear that explosion go off next door. Until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you all to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
This is the CBS Radio Network.